Would you welcome Pastor Ron?
Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord is the light of my salvation. The Lord is the light of my salvation. The Lord is the light of my salvation. Tell me, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the light of my salvation. The Lord is the light of my salvation. Oh, the Lord is the light of my salvation. Tell me, whom shall I fear? Tell me, whom shall I fear? Tell me, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the light of my salvation. Tell me, whom shall I fear? And I'm gonna wait on the Lord and be of good courage. I'm gonna wait on the Lord and be of good courage. I'm gonna wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Tell me, whom shall I fear? Come on, help me sing. Tell me, whom shall I fear? Tell me, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the light of my salvation. Tell me, whom shall I fear? And I'm gonna wait on the Lord and be of good courage. I'm gonna wait on the Lord and be of good courage. I'm gonna wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Tell me, whom shall I fear? Tell me, whom shall I fear? Tell me, whom shall I fear? I know the Lord is the light of my salvation. Tell me, whom shall I fear? Just look at somebody and say, I'm gonna wait now. Point at him. I'm gonna wait on the Lord and be of good courage. I'm gonna wait on the Lord and be of good courage. I'm gonna wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Tell me, whom shall I fear? Woo! Hallelujah! My God. That was the message for this morning. The Lord is the light of our salvation. There is hope in this ungodly world still. There's hope, even though the news is not good on CNN, NBC, ABC. There's still hope. And Paul said, if we have hope in this life, we're all men most miserable. But praise God, our hope is in Scripture. Our hope is in what Jesus has done for us and what he's yet doing for us. And that, amen, should give us encouragement. Amen. So thank you for coming out tonight. Amen. And I always tell people, when you come through those doors and come into fellowship with other believers, whether in the church, where you're at a home somewhere, amen, there's always, you have to overcome your flesh, the world, and the devil. In other words, there's always opposition for you to get to where God wants you to go. Why? Because the enemy don't want you to get there, number one. Number two, sometimes your flesh don't want you there. Come on. And the world always got something to pull on your schedule to keep you from where God needs you to be. So sometimes you just got to make your mind up. That's what I did. That's what I made my mind up. Nothing's going to interfere with me going to Kaiser. I will be there. Amen. Yes, there's other things I could do, but God has me on assignment, and I got to get there. I got to get there and see my other family members. Amen. Praise God, because I just had to see your smiling face. Just got to do a check and see if you're still standing. Amen. Because some people are running and digging holes and trying to hide out from God. But how I can look at you just still standing. You know, the Bible said when you've done all you know to do, stand. Yes. And to stand in your conviction for God and your relationship with God. And as we say, you know, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. That's a personal conviction that you have to have. Can't nobody have that but you? If you're looking for the group dynamics, only time they're going to say it when things are good. And when things are not good, the group is going to what? Dispel. It's going to go away. Praise God. But how many know it's about a personal relationship with the Lord? And if we all make that conviction, then we'll all end up in the same place like we did tonight. To honor the Lord and to worship him. Amen. Thank God for, give your pastors a hand. Amen. Thank God for Pastor Gordon Brubaker and Pastor, amen. Amen. Debbie, amen. And how many know God gives us leaders? You know why God gives us leaders? So we can follow. Oh, that was. Wasn't that deep? Because everybody think they're the leader, but they don't want to follow. How many know in Jesus' boot camp, in order for you to be a leader, you got to be submitted to the of all leaders, him. And when you submit to him, amen, he has a way of bringing you into a position that you can lead others. So sometimes in leaders, sometimes it's a hard job, because sometimes leading, that means you're leading and taking steps where others haven't stepped yet. You want everybody to get it, but they can't get it because they're following. Come on. And you know what? That's how God is. So sometimes in leaders, sometimes even with myself, I had to remember, I may have gotten it, but you may not have gotten it yet. That means I need to move at the pace that God's given me and not try to outrun people. Amen? Because God is good. Amen. We had a great time today. Somebody said, how you know that? We was eating the word today. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every what? Word that proceeded mouth, the mouth of God. Amen. And what I love about the mouth of God is full of this book right here. Amen. The Bible. 66 books in the Bible. Amen. 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament. And God has mirrored it in such a way that he has every ethnic race is in the Bible. Amen. And Jesus got it all covered because he died for the sins of the world. Come on, talk to me. I like when you talk to me and let me know that you're reading your Bible along with me. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So what we're going to do, we're going to pray and get right into the scripture tonight and pick up where we left off. I just was in my spirit just to sing that. And my wife said, why don't you sing more? I said, well, I would like to if God let me. You know, somebody, he got me more preaching and teaching than singing. But nevertheless, he'll mix it up sometime. Praise God. So we thank God for that. Just bow your heads. Father, we just want to honor your presence. Thank you for us being here in this lovely ministry here that you positioned in Kaiser. And we thank you for Living Faith Fellowship today and all the members that are here. And we thank you. You said if there's two or three together in your name, you said you were in the midst, Father. And Father, you had 12. My God, hey, glory to God. When it all came down to it, you didn't even have 12, praise God. You had three. And then after that, you didn't have that many. But nevertheless, you are moving in this ministry. And we acknowledge that. We thank you for the person that's working the sound today. Amen. He's serving. And we thank God for his servitude and others that are here. We pray that you will be glorified in all that we say and do this evening. And do something special that only you know how to do. As we yield ourselves to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we bind the enemy and all his devices here. Have no place in this place, because we've declared it and we said it's so in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Our foundation scripture is Proverbs 29:18. This is where we kind of launched from this morning. And it's a good word because the Bible says that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we're learning, amen, how to eat the word. Eat the word by hearing the word, and not only the hearing it. James says, be a hearer and a doer of the word. So Proverbs 29 and 18 is what we're going to be looking at. I'm going to look at it at the King James, and then I'm going to look at it, read it in the King James, and then I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It says here in the King James, is where there is no vision, it says the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And it says where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, it says the people perish, but he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of a man, it says blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable is he. Somebody say amen. We said revelation points to receiving divine insight to our spirit from the Spirit of God. That's important for you to hear, because a lot of people don't understand God. He's the one that will feed us if we open up our spirit to him, open up our spirit to his word, our heart to his word. So when we say that, amen, what we're really saying is that God intervenes, amen. When we read the scripture, it's actually God speaking to you directly. It's the Spirit of God speaking to us, amen. Can y'all say amen? Amen. So again, amen, revelation points to a divine, receiving divine insight to our spirit from the Spirit of God. Now, there is an example in the Bible that talks about what this definition I just gave you. Let me slow it down a little bit. Because remember, revelation points to us receiving divine insight to our spirit from the Spirit of God. The Bible talks about in Matthew 13, don't turn there for time's sake, talks about Jesus went to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. And he was doing this preaching campaign about the kingdom of God, healing and delivering people. Then finally got to the point where he had a leadership meeting, and he called all his disciples together, and he asked them, he said, whom do men say that I am? Well, some of them said, some say, well, you're Elijah or one of the prophets. And then he says, well, who do you say that I am? And when he said that, amen, all the disciples were posed with this one question, who is Jesus? Who is he? And the Bible says one person blurted up his mouth, opened his mouth, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Did y'all hear that? Now, y'all know that was Peter, right? Peter is the bold one. He's the boisterous one. He's the one that will say, he's not Thomas. He's not timid. Peter's going to say what's on his mind. Is that all right? So he just opened his mouth. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it's what Jesus says. Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you. He said, but my Father which is in heaven. That's that definition of what he said there is how we receive revelation. It's when God has the ability to speak to your heart and speak to your mind without you dialing him up, he can dial you up. He knows where you live. He knows how to speak to you in a way that you get it. Peter heard it because you can't. Listen, first of all, he asked the question, caused his mind to probe. How many know when somebody asks you a question, your mind should be probing? Probing for the answer, trying to look for it, trying to understand. So that's what he was doing. He was thinking, but the time he was used to thinking or think, he heard something. That's what you call your thoughts. Somebody say your thoughts. So the thoughts are words or impression. So he heard, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He heard it first before he said it. Because what? God spoke it to his mind. And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, hold it. Because he said, if I don't correct this right now, Peter, the way he is, he's going to take credit for something that he didn't. You know what I'm saying? That's just Peter in his nature. He's going to take credit after that because he's going to let all the other ones know when Jesus ain't around, y'all didn't get the answer, I got the answer. That's why Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And then he says, upon this rock, now this is important. He said, upon this rock, he said, I would build my church. What he's simply saying is this. You have to go back to what he told Peter. He said, first of all, flesh and blood did not reveal it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. God is a speaking spirit. And because he spoke to you, spoke to your mind, you heard it. And because you heard it, you said what he said. And he says, upon this principle alone is how I'm going to build my church. Is that all right? And on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, come on now. The Bible said he was filled, amen. And they questioned whether or not, amen, they were speaking or drunk, praise God. And he said, he began to preach to them, Jesus right there. And 3,000 souls get saved right there. Because upon this rock, upon this principle, how we receive from God, when God speaks to us, glory to God, he speaks to us, and then we get divine information, and then we say what he says, and then he builds, amen, his church. To build his church simply means he builds people. How many know God is not building big bricks and stones, amen? They showed Jesus the temple. He said, Herod's temple. And he said it took 40 and 6 years, I think 40 and 6, I could be wrong, to build this temple. He said, we build this all for you. And Jesus said, every stone that's hewed up that you see will be what? Cast down. God's not concerned about buildings, but he is concerned about people. Glory to God. Amen. Because he wants to build himself up in you and I and everybody else who will open themselves up to the understanding that God wants to tabernacle in us. He doesn't want to tabernacle in tents like he did, amen, the children of Israel, because that was his preliminary plan, but his ultimate plan was dwell in us. He couldn't do that unless he sent a Savior, somebody who were going to die for our sins. Somebody who's going to replace the Adam sin nature and give us the divine nature that comes through the power of knowing Jesus through his word. Somebody say amen up in here. I feel like I'm walking the scriptures. Amen. Right about now. Amen. Because God's trying to remind us, amen, as I said early this morning, you and I are in the scripture. We just have to locate. It's not by name, but it is by relationship. And because we have relationship with God through his word, he has made a covenant with us. A covenant is a promise or agreement that he gives those who have now received him as Lord and Savior of our lives. Now, one part of the covenant we got down packed. We all know that if we leave this life, we're going to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Is that all right? But that's not all to the package. Is that all right? Because how we know that, the Bible says in Luke 4 and 18, he says, the Spirit of the Lord has appointed me. He has anointed me, what, to preach the gospel. Then he says, to heal the sick. He begins a litany of things that comes along with understanding once you've been born again, yes, you're entitled to eternal life. Yes, you're entitled to go to heaven. But you have to understand, God, amen, he knows you still need some things down here before you leave earth. So we need healing. Somebody say healing. We need peace. Somebody say peace. We need prosperity. Somebody say prosperity. We need a lot of things that he's tied to the promises of God that are still for us today. The Bible says we're under better covenant and better promises than those who are under the old covenant of Moses. The Bible said the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the grace that he gives us is full of packages. Because look, in the Old Testament, if you just stay with me for a minute, the Hebrew people were under bondage 400 years. Amen. By Pharaoh. Y'all remember that? In the scripture. And God tells Moses, go down there and tell them, let my people go. And then Moses goes down and tells Pharaoh to let him go. But then before he does that, God says, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Now, wait a minute. Now, you want me to go down there and tell him to let you go, let him go, but you're going to harden his heart so he don't hear the message. You're going to make it look like I don't know what I'm talking about. God said, listen, God had in his mind, I don't just want to let the people go. I want them to pay 400 years of taxes, 400 years of wages that they didn't pay. Y'all ain't hearing me. So I don't just want them to let, I'm going to harden his heart to the degree that he let everything go. So when he let him go, he let everything go. He said, take the silver, take the gold, take everything. Amen. How many know the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and they that dwell therein? The cattle is his. Amen. Everything belongs to God when you have the right understanding about who God is. Oh, I'm preaching up in here today. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. So God, what is he doing? He's trying to remind us that you are in a better covenant, a better promise than the children of Israel. We're under a better covenant and better promises. You didn't hear me. We're under better covenant and better promises. Some of y'all still didn't hear me. We're under better covenant, a better covenant. Somebody said, well, how do you know you're under better covenant? Their covenant had to have a high priest. And the priest, amen, you had to bring an offering every year for your sins. Come on now. And you know what? And then when you gave the offering, it didn't remove your sin. It just gave you what? Forgiveness of your sin for just a year. Somebody, 1 year. Then you had to pay next year to bring that offering. Well, we have one high priest. Oh, glory to God. The great high priest. Is that all right? He said, you don't have to come back each and every year. We're going to do this one time. One time, amen. Now, I've said that because I'm bringing you up to something I want you to hear tonight, because I think this is important for you and I to hear. Because the redemption points to the blood of Jesus Christ. But we have to get the revelation of that. Even still, we need more of the revelation. The church is not hurting because of who we are and what God has promised. We're hurting because we don't understand it. And when you don't understand a thing, you cannot apply it. Is that all right? Now, you can fake like you don't understand, but sooner or later, if we don't see the results, then it proves the fact that you don't understand it. And the Bible says in Hosea, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. That means we have some knowledge, but we don't have all the knowledge. Does that make any sense? So the challenge for us, amen, amen, God wants to bring us into a place where we become schooled by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is our teacher now. Is that all right? Now, not only that, but God puts teachers in the body of Christ, and we minister by the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost wants to what? Bring enlightenment to your heart and to your mind so it can change your perception on how you look at things. Remember I said that this morning, which is a powerful statement, and that is that when we have the right vision, it's to point to we can receive, amen, our God's promises for our life. When we have the right vision, we can understand to receive. See, we've been taught to serve God, and through the merit system, then he'll give you what you know. No, no. The Bible says just receive. Know how to receive. Some people don't know how to receive because it hurts their pride. I remember one time I was trying to get somebody some money, and they said, I don't need your money. And they knew they needed the money. Well, what was keeping them from receiving the money when they know they need the money? It was pride. Pride says, you know what? You're trying to embarrass me. I don't need that. I've already got it together. You lying. You ain't got it all together. You know you need this money. You just let pride steal you from receiving what was rightfully yours. Pride is I. Somebody said pride is I. Pride is the nature of I.
Pride is the nature of I.
That's right. When you spell pride, you're going to find out there's an I in pride.
Yeah.
Is that right? And what I is independence. It says I can do it without God. I don't need God's help. That's the way the world system is designed today. They believe they can do it all. But they can't do it all when it comes to spiritual things. Because it takes somebody spiritual to handle the spiritual matters that kept us in bondage. It wasn't natural. It manifested itself naturally, but it was spiritual that we were in bondage. And it took a spiritual man to come down and deliver us from our bondage because he dealt with it on the spiritual level. Then he manifested on what? The natural level. Somebody say amen. John 3:16, don't turn there for time's sake. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his what? That whosoever believes in him shall not what? But have what? So Jesus didn't just die for the Hebrew people. He died for the whole
world.
See, you got to get this because when you meditate on that enough, you realize, and like I said this morning, when I go to service on Sunday, it's a few of us there, probably less than 100. Probably less than 50. Sometimes it's less than 20. Sometimes I come in, there's about 15 people. I said, Lord, where's your people? But he said, you know what? They're in attendance. You just don't see them. Because I have people all over the world who have received me as Lord and Savior. If God had to bring all the believers all around the world and come to one place, there wouldn't be a place to hold all of us. And it's amazing how some preachers, they get in their mind, we're going to take the city. You can't even hold 200 folks, and you're talking about the city. Hello, somebody. And sometimes we'll do things because we don't really think and process it out because our perception is about what we believe, what we want to do, how we want to look. But it's about making Jesus great, not Ron Hairston great, Jesus great. About when I go places, whether I'm here and in Africa, it's about talking about Jesus and what Jesus has done and what he's done for you. And he wants you to understand that, you know what, you're in training for reigning, schooling for ruling. You're not just walking this earth waiting to go to the by and by. He's trying to teach you how to walk in the dominion power that he's giving you even right now that he wants you to exercise out of. You don't have to wait on the move of God. You can create your own move of God. That's what happened when they got up here singing. It didn't take a whole lot of folks. Y'all got to singing and the water got to moving. Before you know it, y'all got to singing more. The water got to moving more. Before you know it, you can just feel the ocean of water just moving. Y'all just got caught up in it. Hallelujah. I heard angels sing, yeah, hallelujah. They said, this is good, amen. Why? Because we're praising God, amen. Sister, God always needs someone whose heart is right. Touch your neighbor and say, I know your heart is right. Amen. How we know your heart is right? Because you're here this evening. People don't want to hear the word. They don't come around to work. That's not making an excuse for people who are not here. Maybe some things got in their way. But you know what I'm talking about. They don't never come. That's what we're talking about. Does that make any sense? John 3 and 16, we said that, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That's the birth of Christ. Somebody said the birth of Christ. That's the birth of Christ. Now, when you move from that, you'll find out over in Matthew, amen. Matthew, don't turn there, praise God. Matthew 19 and 30, after Jesus, amen, is hanging on the cross, finally he said, it is finished. The Bible says he gives up the ghost, bows his head over, and his spirit goes down to Hades. The Bible says he went down there and he preached to those who were held captive. Come on. Because what captivated them and kept them captive was the Adam sin nature. Nobody could break that nature in man. That's why the enemy thought he held us in a place of hostage, because we couldn't get free from ourselves, because we were bound to ourselves because of the Adam sin nature. Amen. That generational sin that gets in every person that's been born again. Not born again, it's inside of us. But thanks be to God that when he went down to Hades, amen, the Bible said Jesus went down and preached, amen. He was reminding them, amen, those who were established upon Abraham's faith, amen. The faith of Abraham is to believe God to the degree that I'm going to follow God, even though I don't know where God's going to take me. And Abraham was not perfect, but the Bible says that Abraham was called the righteousness of God. And the reason why God called him righteous, because God got a right to call anybody righteous if he calls them righteous. Did he act righteous? No. But he was righteous because it was by faith he was righteous, and God declared it to be so. He said, he's not righteous now, but when I get done with him, he's going to be a righteous man when I get done with him. Is that all right? That's how God works. He knows, he calls you, he calls those things that what be not as though they were. But because of that, Jesus is preaching now, and he's in hell telling Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in 3 days, we're going to all, amen, we're leaving this place, praise God. You have been ordained to stay in this place because you believe the righteousness of Abraham, his faith in God. His faith in God was established, amen, to the degree that I built covenant, amen, relationship with an ungodly man in history. It's not recorded in history one time that we know of, amen, that God, amen, he is the first man that God chooses to have a relationship with, a man who's ungodly, because God's mercy and grace was overshadowed him to the degree that God says, you know what? By faith, you're going to be saved. If you believe me and leave your country, leave your family, if you come to where I tell you, you are going to be declared right. In other words, you're in right standing with me. You're in the family, and I cut covenant with you. And covenant says, I promise. He said, I will, I will, I will. It's not so much what we will, it's what God wills for us. He's down there talking to Isaac, Jacob, Jeremiah, all of them. He said, listen, he said, just hold on. He said, in 3 days, he said, we're getting up out of here. He said, well, how are we going? The devil got the keys. He said, listen, I ain't done yet. When I get done preaching, I'm going to go visit him in just a minute, because I'm going to take death, hell, and the grave, amen, that he's pinned us down for all these years, amen, because why? He knew that the nature of man couldn't change unless another man came and changed it. But he said, I am the Word made flesh, amen. I am Jehovah Jireh, amen. I am the rock, amen, in the, my God. He said, I come down to deliver, amen, and set all those who have been believing before the cross. He said, I ain't even been to the cross yet, amen, but I have been there for you and I, because now he's going to set them free. He's letting them know, look, I've been on the cross. I can hear the message. You know what? He said, listen, I wanted to tell you guys, I know it's been a long time, but you know, time doesn't outweigh God's promise. Because God lives outside of time. My God. God created time. Amen. He can step in time and step back out of it because he owns it, praise God. We're the only one that's strapped to time, glory to God. But the Bible says when he got down up in there, he told him, said, listen, I want you to know, amen, in 3 days, amen, when I rise, everything that believed Abraham's faith is going to rise with me. Are y'all saying amen? The Bible says, amen, in Matthew 19, when he said it was finished, we looked over, amen, now over in another scripture, amen, it talks about in Matthew 28 and 18, he said, listen, he said, all power in heaven and earth is in my hand. Now he's done rose now, glory to God, amen. The Bible said it was an earthquake, glory to God, and the saints, the old saints of old, were walking the streets, amen, amen, bringing the evidence and the manifestation of God's promise being fulfilled. Even though it took over 2,000 years, the word was still promised. That's why I'm not concerned whether Jesus is coming back. It may take another 2,000 years, but if it takes 4, it don't matter. He's still coming back again. People acting like he ain't never coming back again, but he made a promise that he will come back. back and receive us unto himself. Somebody say amen up in here. Oh, I'm preaching up here tonight. I don't know what y'all did up here tonight, but I feel the fire burning up in here. Amen. Are you hearing me tonight? Amen. So he said, he told the devil, give me the keys. What a scene. What a scene. You can see the enemy getting all nervous. He said, is he down here? He said, yeah, he's down here now. He said, this is what you want? You want to kill him? Or he down here now. Jesus walks up on the enemy and all his demons around him. He looks at him. He said, give me them keys. Now, how are you going to tell the word of God made flesh, no, I ain't going to give you the keys? Because he is subject to the word. See, all this has come by understanding of the scripture. I mean, one time Jesus, amen, the Bible said he went preaching one time with his disciples, went into town, and told Jesus, don't go down this road over here. Jesus, don't go down there. It's a crazy man, amen. He comes out of the tombs, he cuts himself, amen, he acts all crazy. Matter of fact, when we need to go on town or go play, we didn't even go down that road. You can't tell the word of God not to go certain places. Because the word of God is an opportunity for God to show himself strong. So the Bible said Jesus goes in the direction that everybody don't want to go because he know that man going to run out of the cave and act all crazy. The man act all crazy. He came out before Jesus, listen, acting crazy. And the Bible says he knelt before Jesus. And the demons that were in him, y'all better hear me now. They said, Jesus didn't even tell him his name. They knew it. They said, Jesus, thou son of God. He said, you come to torment us before our time? In other words, they knew their time was coming to be tormented. They like to torment the saints, but there's a sign where they're going to be tormented. And some of them are already tormented now because they don't like you being in the place that you're in right now because you represent God in the earth. You're just a reminder of what God had already done. That's why the Bible said when the thief come, he tried to steal, kill, and destroy, but he can't because upon this rock, he said, I'm going to build my people and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Hell, he can roar all he wants, but he ain't got no teeth in his mouth, praise God, because Jesus had ripped all the power out of him. Somebody say amen. Now, I like this, praise God, because you know what? He said, give me them keys. He told the key. He threw the key. He gave him the keys. Bow down and gave him the keys. And Matthew said, all power in heaven and in earth is back in man's hands. And now he takes those keys, you know what I'm saying? He gives it to the church. You have been given power. Somebody said, you got scripture for that? Oh, yeah, I got scripture for that. I ain't coming up in here and ain't going to have no scripture for it now. Turn to John, amen, 1 and 14. Are y'all listening? John 1 and 14, the Gospel of John 1 and 14. Oh, this is good stuff tonight. Good stuff. Are you getting anything tonight? John 1 and 14, this is what this says. In the Gospel of John 1 and 14, amen, glory to God. Let's go to the 12th verse. 12th verse. It says, but as, this is amplified, but as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave authority. It is. Then it says power. This is what the amplified said. He gave us authority, power, and the privilege and the right to become the children of God. That is those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely upon his name. That's powerful, powerful verse. Because that says everyone who's received Jesus, he's given us what? The authority. Yes. That means you have the right to rule. Yes. Every police officer, once they go through the academy and they graduate, listen to me, they've been now, amen, given an anointing, amen, that comes through the civil authority that says you have a right to carry a badge and a gun. Upon the laws of this city to uphold justice in this city. You are the enforcer for justice. If there's injustice, you have the right to put them handcuffs on them. And if they're too much of a threat, pull your magnum out and shoot them if you have to. Because when you have the authority, you don't stand against injustice. And the church hasn't got a revelation of that. We have been given the authority. Yes. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost up in here. We have been given the authority, amen, to stand under heaven's government here in the earth. Because we're now attached to the kingdom of God. And the word of God rules over anything that's not according to his will. Does that make any sense? That's why he told Peter after he gets the revelation, he said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose in earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus, I haven't even been to the cross yet, but I'm deputizing you right now based upon this revelation that you got, that you've been have the authority, glory to God, to stand in the place of authority. Look at your neighbor and say, you've been given that authority. And see, when we don't have a revelation that, we pray and ask Jesus to come. He ain't coming. Amen. Somebody said, why ain't he? You don't want him to come. Because when he comes, it's all over. Hello, somebody. Yeah. No, he said, I've given you power. Yes. So we have to get a revelation of that. See, when I know I got the power and authority, any injustice in my life, in my family's life, in my children's life, I have the right to speak to it. Because remember that city of Columbus, they're not, amen, or the city here in Kaiser, that police officer, amen, if he's ruling right, he has the authority to tell you in the middle of the street, stop that car. I said stop. In case you ain't listening. You ever seen that? Now, if he's standing in the middle of the street and you still coming, because one way or another, you're going to get the message. Because if you don't get the message, am I talking right tonight? This is good. Look what people are missing tonight. Listen, the injustice sometimes that goes on in our life that the enemy tries to bring our way, he is out of bounds. He is moving unlawfully and trying to get legal access to, my God, to deceive us of our authority so we don't use it, so he can bum rush us into the sense we've been deceived and we don't understand that we have the authority to speak against this. I don't receive that in Jesus' name. He got to the point now where, well, why you don't receive it? You don't have to, listen, the police said, will you please stop? Please. Come on, y'all, stop. That's the way the church is telling the devil to stop, devil. No, come, why? Then we have a conversation with him. Well, I don't know why. Listen, authority doesn't have a conversation with injustice. It just commands. Some of us got to learn how to start commanding. I had to learn how to command some stuff. I said, you know, this is not God's will for my life. Then I use the authority by speaking. Because the officer's going to have to learn how to use his authority through his mouth before he grabs that gun. Amen. That's the problem now. Some of them know how to use their mouth. They can just shoot, and then that's another problem. Amen. Glory to God. Are you hearing me? Somebody said he's given us the authority. See, you have to take ownership of that. If you don't take ownership of that, the enemy, amen, he will deceive you to make you think, oh, it's just you. Oh, it's just you. Can you see the enemy working with the police officers? Oh, Sam, that's just you. Sam said, quit looking at me and look at the uniform. Because it's not about just you, it's about what you represent. That's why when we get the revelation that we're one with the revelation that we receive, because God honors you with that revelation, and the Bible said, many has received him, received the word. My goodness, good God Almighty. We have received the word inside of us. The word, amen, has been what, made flesh. And now it dwells among us. He's dwelling in your tabernacle right now. He's in you right now. Yes. And because of that, you have to have the mindset to say, this ain't about me anymore. It's about what I'm carrying. Every officer can't take it personal. He said, I'm representing the city of Kaiser or the city of Columbus. Let's not make it personal. You can see his mom come down. Hey, James. You know, he's standing in his uniform. Mom, not now. I'm on duty. Because you got to remember, you're always on duty. Come on, somebody. Even when you're off duty, you're still in the civil right in terms of the officers. They still, when they're not bound to uniform, if they see any injustice, they still have a right to operate on, even if they're not in uniform. See, we want to use our authority in the church. We go out of church, then we don't know who we are. And you can tell, I can tell when people don't know who they are, they're always talking about the enemy. He ain't that powerful. If they always talking about the enemy, then no, sometimes it ain't the enemy. Sometimes I read in the Bible that messed me up when I started reading it. It said, the works of the flesh are these. And it said, anger. That ain't the enemy. That's your flesh. We want to make everything spiritual. And then, you know what? It's sometimes it's just your flesh out of control. Amen. So somebody say authority. Authority. Then he gives us the power. Now I'm going to mess with this. On this. Listen, all this you got through receiving him. First he gave you the authority. That means you're in right standing with God. And God doesn't see you as a sinner. Even though you got issues. Because God overstepped your issues. Yes. And he did something in your spirit. Yes. Your issues have to deal with your memory. That's why he need to change your memory from doing the things out of memory and do it out of his nature. Because your mind is now cooperating with your spirit because your mind has been renewed. Amen. Come on, talk to me now. Amen. Yeah. So the thing you need to understand, amen, because he's now given us the power, and that word power really has to deal with this word called dunamis. Dunamis is a good. It's a good byproduct of God's power. It's energy reproducing itself over and over and over again. It's like the energizing bunny. He needs the battery to keep moving. Dunamis keeps moving because it's designed to move in you, bring power in you. Dunamis, amen, is the power of God to kick out the old nature in your memory and bring in the new nature. Ooh, dunamis is the part when you don't feel like praying, he'll kick you up, make you have, feel like you got a B shot, a B12 shot and jumped up, you know, amen, because you got the energy to move and everything. Dunamis has a way of moving you when you don't want to move. Dunamis is the power of God to recreate in us the ability to endure when hard times come. We can still stand, amen, because while we feel like fainting, but something on the inside of me keeps telling me to go ahead, amen. That's the dunamis power that's working inside. Are y'all hearing me today? So the dunamis, amen, has a lot to do with what? Power being released inside of us. It takes power to stand in the day that we're living in. It takes power to witness, amen, because other people are shrinking back, not wanting to witness because they're afraid of what somebody else is going to say about them. When dunamis kicks in, it ain't about what other people are saying. It's what you need to do for God. Yes. Then it says giving us the power. Then it says the privilege. The privilege is the grace to stand. It's by his grace I'm able to do what I do. It's by his grace he opened up doors for me to go to other countries and minister. It's by his grace, amen, I'm able to speak by revelation and understanding. He gives me the grace to stand, and God's grace is God's riches, amen, given by Christ's expense. In other words, the grace of God, amen. God gives us grace to do what he called us to do. Somehow, amen, he'll do it in a way where you know, this ain't me, I know this is God. Sometimes when I minister, a lot of times I say, oh, I know this is God right here. My God, I didn't have that nowhere in the notes. Glory to God. Where did that come from? It's the grace of God empowering me to do what you need to do, what I need to do. Don't underestimate the grace of God. God's grace is going to take us further on and to see him in peace. It's by the grace of God that we all are saved and be saved and continue to be saved. It's not by human effort. It's not by degrees. It's not by intelligence. It's by the grace of God. And God will grace us to stand when the world's on fire. Amen. The Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. Heathens all around him. But God graced him to build an ark. Glory to God. What? Dunamis was working too. Amen. He had energy to build an ark. Amen. Why? Because God has called us to this place to receive authority. Somebody say authority. Authority. Somebody say power. Power. And the privilege. Then it says the right. Ooh. The right, this word right, you know the word right? It's more of in the law of a courtroom. Everybody can't speak in the courtroom. The judge will tell you to shut your mouth. And if you jabber too much, he say, bailiff, get that out of the courtroom. Because when we're in the judgment of God, we had to have somebody to represent us so we could speak. We had no voice, but Jesus, the great high priest, glory to God. When he told him, don't touch me, he said, I have not ascended to heaven yet. In other words, I got to, when I leave, I got to purify the heavens. With my presence, when I go back up into the heavens, I'm cleansing the heavens. Everything that's demonic, that's in the air, is coming subject to me as I go up. Where there was no peace in heaven, I'm bringing the peace back to heaven. Don't touch me, Mary. I'm going to ascend to the heaven because I got to go to the courtroom of God. I got to go represent my clients, which is the world now, because I paid my blood. I shed my blood for all those who are unsaved. Amen. And I saved the whole world. All they got to do is receive me, and it'll be written. Their names will be written in the Lamb Book of Life. So he goes up. You can see Jesus coming into the courtroom. The gates open up. Jesus comes before the throne of God. God is smiling. Praise God. Because all along, we have on this side of the courtroom, the adversary, making adversary. He's making, amen, accusations against the body of Christ. Saying that we don't deserve, man doesn't deserve. God was bound by his own law because if the day you sin, you would die. Everything else, you would die. But praise God, it looked like there was no defendant for us. But my God, Jesus stepped up in the courtroom one day and the devil said, oh my God. And he said, I am the righteousness of God. You're right. No one could fulfill the law because it was spiritual. But he said, I am spiritual and I'm natural. I am the God man. And I'm here to represent. Now on the right of all those who believe in me, I give them the authority and the right to stand where I stand. So when he was raised up, we were raised up also. Our status has been changed. Glory to God. In the court of God, he doesn't see us as sinners, even though we got issues. He sees the blood applied upon our life. He said, that's a child of God because of the blood of Jesus. Not because of what they do and they don't do. It's because of the blood. The blood has been applied, glory to God, because they have received them into their house and they are saved by faith. Somebody say, I'm saved by faith. He's given us the right. Now we can ascend to the throne of grace. Let me tell you something. I was visiting a pastor not too long ago up in Cumberland. Amen. I was in this office minding my own business. Amen. Yes, I was. It's hard for me to do that sometimes. Amen. Glory to God. I'm sitting in there having a good time to myself, talking to the Lord, getting prepared to minister the message. All of a sudden, the door swings open. This little girl, she's probably about this high, probably about 6 years old, swung the door open, came in the office. And said, where's my daddy? I said, well, he. She said it in such a way, I was intimidated. Where's my daddy? I said, oh my God. I said, well, he's not in here. And then she went out and closed the door. See, the reason why she had the right, she's in relationship with her daddy. She didn't see, now y'all didn't hear me. Amen, glory to God. Amen. She knows her relationship. She don't have to beg to enter into his office. Preaching up in here today. Glory to God. She didn't just kindly knock on, Daddy, are you in there? Because of relationship, and she knew her daddy, she had the right to come in that office. She came in that office, boy, I'll tell you, came in there so bold, looked at me, didn't ask my name, didn't ask me where I came. She said, where my daddy? And sometimes when we get in trouble, we don't even know how to approach God. Because we approach him like we don't have a right to approach him. We approach him like, oh, God, can you please hear my prayer? No, you need to stop it. Because the blood has been applied. You need to do like the little girl, bust in the door and say, God, here I am this morning. And I come to you in Jesus' name, and I need some help. I need some wisdom. I need counsel. Hello, somebody. He's given us the authority, the privilege, and the right. Does that make any sense? I got 10 minutes. I'm going to work this 10 minutes. Can I have 10 minutes, please? Can I have 10? I ain't going to keep you here all night, but we're going to work this 10 because I want you to come back tomorrow. Is that all right? Glory to God. Now, listen. I said all that to say this, and I'm going to end with this tonight. Two things. One, Paul prays to the church at Ephesus. He prays that the God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge in him. When he says that, keep that up if you don't mind, Because he's pointing them to, you need to understand by revelation your authority, your power, your privilege, and right to become a child of God. To be labeled a child of God is one thing, but to operate as a child is a whole different thing. Just like my sons. My sons are in the, one of them's in the 40s, the other one's about 45, somewhere around in there. Amen, glory to God. You know what, but they're my sons, but they're males, but they're also, not only that, but they understand that they're men also. Hello? Because just because you're a male doesn't make you a man. Oh, I'm preaching up here today. People want to claim it as all is one, but there's a process from you moving from a male to manhood. Because you can't say you're a male, come on now, and you're 40 years old, still living at home, and you want to claim yourself to be a man. You're not a man yet. You're still a male, not becoming a man. Mm-hmm. So if some people ask me, how many babies you got? I say, I ain't got no babies. Same thing, your babies? I said, no, they're men. I got two grown men who are my sons. Because if you keep calling them babies, they'll act like a baby. Oh, here, my baby, he's 30 years old. Hello. So we can't just label it all as one and not understand the process to become what he called us to be. Yes, you're a child of God, but your assignment is now that what Christ wants to form himself in you so you can begin to speak like a child of God. Speak like those who have authority. Speak and operate those who have dunamis, because now you have the Christ likeness inside of you. You have the fruits of the Spirit operating inside of you. You know how to pull back your flesh and let the spirit man come out. Amen. You know, when you could get angry, you just add a little patience. Speak a little patience on that. Just a little patience. So to my wife is talking, I said, honey, can you put a little sugar on that, please? Your words are real sharp, but can you just put a little sugar on that? And she just kind of laughed, amen. Because what I'm requiring for, I'm asking you to, don't forget, you're a child of God. Don't label it and not do it. Is that all right? Touch your neighbor. Don't look at him. Just touch your neighbor. But I want to touch him. Some of y'all are sitting too far apart. I touch you. People like to take the label because it's easier to take the label than take on the responsibility that comes with the label. Yes. Yes. That's what's wrong now. The church is so spiritualized and everything. We want to label everything, and we don't want to be involved in anything. But we want to claim it. Somebody's going to have to get before the Lord preaching that stuff. And the Bible said we as ministers, we're going to be held in double. In other words, not just one, but double. Why you preach that? Your preaching led people in error. I'm not going to stand before, nope, not me. Not me, I check all my stuff. Then I pray too. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Please, God. Then I pray, Lord, let the Holy Spirit, I'm praying, but I'm paving the way, because what? I don't want him to say, no, that was wrong. Listen, I'm almost done. My last scripture. Y'all going to be blessed by this. Are y'all ready? Yeah. Turn to Romans 5, 1 through 4. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. I said this earlier that you're in the Bible. Not by name, but by covenant, you're in the Bible. Because we're the church, the writings that the apostles written in old still writes to us today. That's why the Bible says the church is built upon the apostles, the prophets, but Jesus Christ, him what being the cornerstone. So this is what I love about it. When we focus on the New Testament, it's our covenant. Old Testament is not our covenant. The Old Testament is good because it gives you shadows and examples. But who wants to live in the shadow when we can live in out of the example? But if we don't make the shift, the focus, not that we do away with the Old Testament, because we go back, we draw from that. But if we're really going to follow Jesus, amen, in the totality of who he is, we got to get to the New Testament. Is that all right? That's why when we take communion, he said it's all about the New Testament, the new covenant. Not mixed with the old covenant, because the old covenant was for the Hebrew people. Yes.
It wasn't even, we weren't even a part of it. Hello. But so now he says, when you take communion, he said, remember, the cup represents the blood. What? The bread represents what? His body. When you take it, amen, you don't rub it on your head. You don't put it on your ears. Rub it on your knee. When you take it, he said, open your mouth. Be partaker. Let it come in, inside. Come on. Let, renew the what I put inside of you. My God. It's a remembrance that you remember. Amen. He put something inside of you, which is his word. Amen. Is that making any sense? Romans chapter number 5. Let me end with this tonight. Amen. He's already got you working tonight. That's good stuff, man. I like that. It said, therefore. Y'all got that? 5:1. Somebody said, therefore.
Therefore.
When God says, therefore, through Paul, he's prophetically saying, it is what it is. Can't nobody change it. You can dialogue about it. You can have debates about it. You get your Hebrew and your Greek. When you get done, it's still going to remain. Therefore, he says, being justified by faith. And this word, he said, therefore, he breaks it down. Therefore, being justified. Then he said, acquitted. We're no more guilty. People don't realize when Jesus died, he died for our sins, future, past, and present. The only thing that keeps us from receiving, amen, the power of forgiveness is we don't confess our sins. Ooh, glory to God. So that means when I tell on myself, I've been acquitted. Not guilty. That means my conscience can't hold me captive when I know my rights. This is my rights. Therefore, being justified or acquitted. It says acquitted, then it said, and declared righteous and giving right standing with God through faith. Somebody said, through your faith. See, this is your faith. The Bible said the trials of your faith. Some people think when they go through trial, God got them on trial. God ain't got you on trial. Your faith is on trial. Somebody said, well, what is my faith? Your faith has to deal with your confidence in God, your confession of God, and your obedience to God. When you break it open, when you really break it open, I'm giving you what I know. When you break open faith, your faith, not God's faith. God's faith is always a promise. God's faith is always a promise. Your faith has to deal with your confidence in God, your confession in God, and your obedience. The twins, the triplets, they work together. You can't separate them because when you separate them, there's a division and there's no harmony in those three. When I say three, you have to have confidence in God. Confidence in God to the point that you confess God. And then after that, if there's obedience that he requires from you, you do that also. It's what your, what? It's your faith. Somebody said, my faith. So you got your faith is what your confidence in God. Where's your level of your confidence in God? It requires for you to pay attention because sometimes when we hit with things, sometimes our confidence is not where it needs to be. God's trying to build your confidence so it gets to a place where it can be where it needs to be. Is that all right? So it's our confidence in God. You show me somebody in the Bible that didn't operate in these three things. I give you two examples with the time I have left. David is one of them. David has a relationship with God that his faith, not God's faith, David's faith has won on the increase. How we know that? The Bible says that when he was tending his father's sheep, there was a what? A bear came. And he had so much confidence to God that he began to confess or talk to God, and God gave him obedience and said, go get him. So he's chasing after a bear. David, hold it, David. That's a bear, David. You can chase goats and sheep, but you can't be chasing bears, David. David chased the bear because he had confidence in what God told him, which was obedience. Obedience was chasing after the bear.
Yes, glory.
Y'all hear that? He had confidence in God. He confessed God. Then he had what? He found the instructions, because the instruction, what he had the choice either to do what God says, and if you don't do what God says, when you're going through your storm, you won't see the greatness of God moving in your life. When he chased that bear, he got a hold of him, something came over David. And I can see the bear said, this is not natural. And you can hear the bear say, I know I'm in trouble now. And the Bible said he slew the bear because God told him to go. He did all that because of his faith. Somebody say his faith. His faith, he had confidence in God. His confession was God, right with God. He found the obedience of what God said, and he pursues the bear. The Bible said next time a lion comes. Now, you know God ain't going to send another bear because he's already got his faith up to faith to the place of defeating bears. So why God send the same test the same way? No, it's going to be something bigger than what he faced before, because God wants his faith to grow to another level, and it can't, because God can't show himself strong unless he mirrors the fact that he has confidence in God, has his confession in God, and has obedience to what God said. So now when David looked at God, he said, God, okay, God, what are we supposed to do there? He said, you know what we did with the bear, don't you? He said, ooh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. He said, we know what? We beat down that bear, God. What do you want me to do about this lion? He said, go get him, David. David's chasing at the lion. You can hear the lion. This ain't natural. Lion said, I know I'm in trouble. And the Bible said he kills the lion. Because, listen, when you go through your test, could it be, instead of us trying to come out of the test, God's trying to build your confidence in him, build your confession, and then find the obedience in what he tells you, and then you come out on top. The other example, still dealing with David, the Bible said now a giant comes. Now you got to see David now in the spirit. David, you know what? His faith level was like, he said, it was harder for me to chase animals than to chase people. But now we got this giant. And I like what David said. Listen to David's faith. I'm paraphrasing. First, he goes down there. He's minding his own business. Come on. He's going down there because his daddy told him to go down there, take your brothers some food. They're down there hiding. They ain't fighting. They're down there hiding in ditches. They're getting malnourished by being in hiding out. Take him some food. So he go down there, take him some food. Then he hears the uncircumcised giant making threats to the children of Israel. And when David hears it, something stirs in his spirit. And you can hear David say, he's talking about, you know what? It's one thing when people talk about your mama. David said, he's talking about my relationship with God. He said, me and God are like this. He said, you know what? He said, he told Saul, he said, I'll fight this enemy. Saul said, you're just a lad. David said, let me take you on a faith history lesson of where my faith is. He said, I was 10. He remembers. But see, you can't build upon your faith until you remember the small victories that God has brought you to. And remember, if he did it there, he'll do it again. Sometimes we forget the greatest sin that Israel committed in the wilderness is that they forgot. Here, God opened up the Red Sea, and then they're crying about some food. They forgot that God opened up the Red Sea. They forgot that their clothes, amen, didn't wither while they was walking, amen. The pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. They forgot all of that because their enemy came so big that they forgot God. You cannot forget God when you're building your faith. Amen. So he said, listen, you know what? He said, I'll fight him. So I'm paraphrasing. I'm jumping ahead. Now, David's standing in front of the line, Goliath. He's tall. And Goliath mocks him. He said, oh, y'all send a dog out. He's talking about David, called David a dog. I like what David said, because when you have confidence in God, you speak out of the authority that he's given you. He said, you uncircumcised giant. He said, you uncircumcised. He said, Philistine. He said, I'm going to break it down to you. You know, if you ever watch WWF, that's wrestling on TV, WWF, you know, David said, I'm going to tell you how this fight is going to go down. Before we fight. He said, this day. He said, I'm gonna kill you. They ain't even fought yet. David talking faith. He's calling those things to be not. He's giving a description like an announcer on TV. Amen. Somebody scoring a touchdown and they ain't even in the end zone yet. They ain't even got the ball yet. They're on defense. So he's telling this. He said, you look at the time. He said, listen. He said, this day. He said, you know what? I'm gonna kill you. They was a bad boy. He said, I'm gonna take your sword, take it off your hip, climb up on your chest, and cut your head off. That's how this is gonna go down. Because what faith will do when he builds your faith up, you look at the injustice in your life and you don't pray so much about it. You speak to it. You speak to it. The church has to learn how to speak. Learn how to speak. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child, understood like a child. But when I became a man, he said, I put away childish things. Because what? When you're a child, it's all about you. But when you're a male, you understand your responsibility, your maturity is about who you represent. Because I represent God. We're not having this today. And the Bible said, you know what? It was over. It happened just like he said. Because what? He had confidence in God. When you have faith in God, your faith is your what? Get what is again? What is it again?
Confidence.
Jesus goes to sleep in the hind part of a ship. He'd been preaching all that day, healing the sick, delivering folks, preaching and healing people who are possessed by the devil. Then that evening comes, he's tired. The Bible says he gets in the hind part of the ship and goes to sleep. And the Bible says a storm came. And the disciples, they had no confidence in who he was. After all that day, they would follow him and see miracles and signs and wonders. They forgot who was on board the ship because they looked at the storm more than who was in the boat. Sometimes we look at more that's coming after us and others looking at who's in your ship, who's abiding inside of you. Oh, I'm preaching up in here today. I got 2 minutes. I'm working this, praise God. So when they wake Jesus up, what does Jesus say? He said, number one, why are you so fearful? Then he says, oh, ye of little. He said, where's your confidence at in me? Where's your confession in me? Where's your obedience? If we had to put the rewind button, and I got about a minute and a half left, and I'm working it, the minute and a half, Jesus said, what I'm really looking for is that I knew the storm was coming, but I wanted a different response than you gave me. Come on. Somebody said, push the rewind button. Now, see, the teacher is looking for the correct answer. The correct answer was, you don't shake Jesus out of sleep. And then hollering in his ear, you care not that we perish? The rewind button is, listen, here's the rewind. The stormers, everybody's in the storm. They said, wait, man, Jesus on board, right? Yeah. Didn't he just heal all those folks? And let's ask Jesus to help us. Then they go down and say, Jesus, hello, Jesus, I'm sorry we had to wake you, Jesus. But we need to wake you because there's a storm up atop and we don't know what to do. Can you come up here and help us? He would have got up. He said, oh, you got faith. He wouldn't have rebuked it because, number one, they weren't in fear. Number two, how we know they weren't in fear? Because how they acted. Because when we put in rewind, they didn't shake him out. See, they asked him permission. Jesus, you know, I like to be woke up like that. Wouldn't you like to wake up? You sleeping 90 miles an hour, then somebody holler, ah! No, if they got faith, Jesus, can you please? Jesus, he gets up. He said, okay, well, what's the problem? Oh, it's a storm. You know, we was with you all day today, and you healed the sick, cast out devils, amen. We just need help. We don't know how to handle this situation. Can you help us, Jesus? And Jesus said, come on, yeah, then. He said, peace be still. And then they would have said, oh, what manner of man is this? Even the sea and the wind obey. But what's left out of that, he didn't say, oh, ye of little, oh, where is your? Because they acted differently. Could it be that the storm you and I face, God is trying to test where your confidence is? Ooh, glory to God. You know, we want to prophesy and confess. You want to say, I ain't moved by that. Yeah, you can tell by your voice you moved by it, praise God. Because your reaction to your storm tells God and tells yourself where your faith level is. But here's the good news. Touch your neighbor, said, no one fails in God's school. Just point at him. Point at him real quick. Point at him. Said, no one fails in God's school. Just take some of us a little longer than others. So what that simply means, they didn't fail because he said in one text, he said, oh, ye of little faith. So they had enough faith, even though their emotions weren't right, they came down, at least they woke him up. Is that right? But they woke him up with the intent, get a bucket. That's what they was thinking. So the little faith was, they did wake him up. Is that all right? And sometimes, you know what, we're going through a lot of times, we're like that too. But you know what? He's a good teacher. He knows that you don't have it, so he doesn't rebuke us. He will work with what you got because you gave him the access to come in and do what he needs to do. Come on, stand on your feet if you would, and give the Lord a hand clap tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah! My God in heaven. Woo, it's good stuff tonight. My God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. There's some good stuff tonight. My God. Did y'all get that tonight? I might have to go home and listen to the tape myself. Hallelujah. This is good stuff tonight. Amen. Because God, he wants to encourage us. Amen. We're in training for reigning, schooling for ruling. That means God didn't fail. If he didn't fail Thomas, he ain't going to fail us. Thomas was in the school and the discipleship of God's training through Jesus Christ. And he had a lot of failures. Even after Jesus was dead and buried, the Bible talks about, you know what? Peter went back fishing. Here comes Jesus. Give me some of that fish. Sit down there, and when he blessed the food, Peter woke, oh, that's Jesus. Because he wants us to get it, and we can get it if we understand that we need his help. Raise your hands with me, and we're going to just close out tonight in prayer. Father, we may be few, but we still need your help. You took 12 and turned the city upside down, Father. I'm so glad tonight, amen, that we've got about that number up in here tonight, and you can use us to turn some things around. God, help us tonight to understand what the will of God is concerning who we are, what we have received, and how to operate it in everyday living. Help us, amen, start using our authority. Start telling the devil, stop. And stop having a conversation with him, but tell him, stop in Jesus' name. I don't receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. We pray even now that you bless this ministry, bless the people, bless us tonight as we leave this place, but never leave your presence. Cause your glory, amen, to be revealed not only in us, but upon us and around us. God, I pray that you let our sleep be sweet tonight, God. I pray that the Holy Ghost will visit and talk to your children tonight. Talk to them in a way to let them know that you have been given the authority. You have the right. You have the privilege, amen, amen, to move against anything that's moving against our relationship that tries to break that in union that we have with you. Any injustices in our city, God, we have the right to address it, God. We can address it in prayer, and you can move on our behalf, even in the schooling, amen, or education, whatever dimensions that might be, whether it's in government, God. God, we have the right to speak against it, and you said you will uphold our words in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for our time together in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Well, I'm done tonight. I'm hoping you were blessed and highly favored. We're eating good in the neighborhood tonight. Praise God. So God bless you.